The gloves are off. They go toe-to-toe, blow for blow. Very Elegant ahead on a day. He's trying, but she's going to beat him. Very Elegant wins the Rambert.
Welcome back to the B-Set. I'm Nick Burney. Happy Easter long weekend. And Ray, as I bring you in, mate, good card here at Rosehill Gardens, the final meeting for Rosehill. And it's been a fantastic little carnival there, especially obviously with the Golden Slipper last week. How did you see them last week quickly?
Yeah, last week was, the Golden Slipper was an excellent contest, as it usually is. A lot of what might have beens.
Yep.
Lady of Camelot was there at the right place. I thought her effort was particularly good because the runner-up went straight past her at the 200 metres, and she obviously still had a little bit left and was able to pick it up. Look, you know, any day with five group ones, you're going to have some highlights. But I think the Slipper wasn't overshadowed this year. Occasionally, race like the Rider is the one that overshadows. I think we've had, you know, we've had Animo and Winx win that race, and it's sort of just they've been the superstar, and it's completely put the Golden Slipper into the background. But I think it was actually Golden Slipper Day this time. So
I agree. Might have a new superstar in VSC Standard, but we'll get to that right in a few weeks.
Yeah.
Mate, let's kick off. The Group 1 Tancred Stakes, Wait for Rage. This is a really good race. Obviously, Post Impressionist was impressive last week. Backing up, are you with the favourite or looking elsewhere?
I'm going to take him on this week.
I agree. Perfect.
I think that it's a interesting decision that they're making to run Post Impressionist a week after that win last week, which was outstanding. I mean, he was clearly too good for that lot. He had 54.5 kilos in that race. He goes to Wait for Age at 59 on level weights against horses that have been going around against Via Sestina and Fangirl and horses like that. So, look, it's not to say that he may be good enough, but he was brought over here as a Sydney Cup horse.
Yep.
His original MO was kind of travel companion to Dubai Honor, who obviously didn't make the trip this year. So he's come out and won the Mannion Cup, got the 2 kilo penalty for the Sydney Cup, but they've seen this race look winnable. And it
absolutely
is winnable.
Yep.
But I think Buckaroo is the horse to beat.
Yes.
I think he is really well suited here. He was 5 weeks between runs going into the Ranvet last week. He found himself on the inside, which may not have been exactly the best place.
It was definitely a negative.
Yeah, but he was really good through the line.
Yep.
He, you know, he was a nose off running second, and I thought he was finishing, you know, as well. Well, probably not as well as the winner did, but he was finishing better than anything else. And going to 2,400 metres in this field, I don't think is going to cause him too much trouble. He'll be a lot fitter for that run. And I think this is his opportunity because Chris Waller's been looking for a Group 1 for this horse for a while. He's a stallion.
Yep.
Obviously, his future as a sire of middle distance horses, if he can get one of these Group 1s, we sorely need one of those.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is a big opportunity for Buckaroo. I think that I'll be surprised if he's not well supported this time around.
Good question for you on Buckaroo, because I'm with him as well. Like, I know he's a little bit slow out there last start. Do you think he could be closer, one out, one back? Is that a possibility? Or do you think Calipor will push up and hold that spot? Obviously, Gear Up, Military Mission, and the other ones.
Look, I don't think that... obviously, a lot comes down to how he gets out of the gates.
Yeah.
As you said, but I think a midfield position would be natural kind of spot for him. I don't see a whole deal of
speed
here. So, look, if he does break well, maybe Tommy does look for that slightly more forward spot. I wouldn't be surprised if they're positive again on Military Mission, given he's doing the outside. They've got nothing to...
I think this is the day they roll forward.
They've got nothing to gain from going back. You know, you look through some of the other horses and there's no speed at all.
Yeah. No, so I'm really keen to bet into this race. This would be best bet of the day for me. And I really like Buckaroo. I get it with Post Impressionist, but that horse was very run to suit. I did like how it held its action, pricked its ears late. But as you said, it has to go up 4.5 kilos to Wait for Age. It's just the old coming down the outside looking very flash, and now they've put up $2.40. So I couldn't possibly have it that price. With that, I've got Buckaroo. I actually marked Buckaroo favourite, so I'm keen to back Buckaroo. Pace and bias against, and as you said, those last few bounds of what he did through the line just said to me he's ready to win. Sectional say the 2400 metres is no issue. I never want to put a knock on a horse if they haven't been given the chance to get out to the 24. So really keen to back Buckaroo. And I'm also going to have something on Military Mission. I just have to. Coming out of that form line, the V16 form line, I think they may roll the dice on Military Mission, take off a bit earlier. Now it's out to the 2400 metres. So third up, fitter. This horse did start $26 in a Melbourne Cup as well. So have to respect it around the price.
Well, the Sydney Cup's obviously the aim of a lot of these horses. It's not the aim of Buckaroo.
No, yeah.
So that's an interesting fact. Look, it just seems to be a little bit of afterthought with post-impressionists.
Yep.
Like I said, they've seen an opportunity, and it is an opportunity.
If post-impressionist comes down the outside, it's too good for them. That's I'll just cop that on the chin.
Yeah, I think so too. Tom Kitten's the other interesting runner in the race. He was also back on the inside the other day. I don't know whether we could say that was
winning and losing.
I'm not sure where he was at, because I thought up to that point he had a good run in the race, and he just sort of, so it's interesting that they're backing up with him. Maybe they think that this is easier to win than the Derby.
Yep, I just think this is a really good opportunity to bet, and we're getting a good price to find out. So, Buckaroo, best bet on the day for me. Let's move to the Vinery, and this really picked itself as the head-to-head. This is going to be a fantastic race. Orchestral. Well, I don't want to say verse Zardozi, because there is other horses in the field, but they really do stand out, right?
They do.
Which way did you go?
I was guilty last year of underestimating the Kiwi.
Yes.
So I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going with Orchestral, although I don't know that there should be quite as much between them in the market.
Yeah, $1.60. It was hammered yesterday. I think it was $1.90 they went up. And it just went $1.60, which is a significant move.
Yeah, absolutely. Funnily enough, I had an interesting chat with Tom Marquand about match races. Because that's really how this race is being built.
Yeah.
There are other horses in the race. And Komochi and Autumn Angel, for example, are worthy opponents.
Absolutely.
But all the talk is about the Star Kiwi filly and the Star Australian filly. Oaks winner already.
Yep.
And Tom has been involved in some of the really big clashes, match races, since he's been coming to Australia.
Yep.
Obviously, last year there was all the talk of, could Animo fend off Dubai Honours Challenge?
Yep.
He wasn't good enough. We've had the Very Elegant Adabe battles over the course of 2 years. And Tom said he got a real kick out of winning that last one in the Queen Elizabeth, having been beaten. So... I think his words were something like, you Aussies love to talk up a match race. And
that's what it's all about.
At the same time, he gets that, and I think he likes it as well.
Of course, yeah.
But the point is that you can't go into a race thinking it's a match race. So, I mean, that story is up on the website to read. But look, Orchestral's been outstanding. She beat the boys in the Derby pointlessly over in New Zealand. Antrim Coast has been over to Melbourne and run well. Yep. So that's a little tick. Now, Zardozi goes up from 1,500 to 2,000. Orchestral's going back from 2,400 to 2,000. Zardozi had the run 2 weeks ago. Orchestral raced effectively 4 weeks ago.
Yep.
It's going to be a fascinating battle. But last year, I underestimated Prowess.
Yep.
And she absolutely toweled them. Roger James knows what he's doing. Obviously, they won the race with it last year. He won the race 20-odd years ago with 60 seconds.
Yep.
He won Tancred Stakes on this day about 10 years ago with Silent Achiever.
Yep.
And he says that this filly is as good, if not potentially better than them.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's a good wrap. I mean,
starting $1.30 in a New Zealand Derby, that really tells the story. And you go and watch that replay, the way she was ridden, he just said, I'm not going to get involved in any traffic whatsoever, came down the centre of the track. It was just so dominant late. And look, she's just a horse that has acceleration, and her closing speed is quite amazing, and just how she puts margins on horses once she gets past them. But the win I liked, because I went back through all her replays, it was actually 3 starts ago in the Karaka Mile where James McDonald did ride her. And you watch specifically... He asked her a couple of times with the right hand in the whip, and he pulls it through to the left. And when he asked her then with the left hand, the way she just exploded and went through the line, I think she's a serious horse. I think she just comes over here with obviously the profile we all know about it. I think she's just awfully hard to beat. And I've got so much respect for Zardozi. Look, she has to get back to her Oaks figure to be competitive against Orchestral. But Orchestral's still got to get here, you know. By all reports, she's healthy and ready to go. But I just have to lean to Orchestral in a fantastic race. And I agree with you. A horse like Autumn Angel was really strong there second up. It was challenged multiple times down the straight at Flemington and kept responding under pressure. Ninth fastest last 200 metres. Mm. So it's another danger. But with all that said, I do think he'll probably trade a little bit better on the day, but I have to be in Orchestral's corner.
I'd be surprised if the gap doesn't close a bit.
Yeah.
Because, I mean,
They are too far apart.
They are way too far apart. I guess the question with Zardozi is, you know, 2,000 metres was when we really saw her get straps in the spring. Again, Tom Markwin just sort of said she didn't feel like a 2,000-metre horse when she sprinted the other day, but you know that she's got that in her locker already. Yeah. It makes it very dangerous. How the race is going to be run will be interesting as to where Orchestral gets to. As you said, no chances were taken in the Derby in New Zealand, but she had that barrier in the middle where she could be wherever Craig Grills wanted. She's drawn barrier two. That didn't stop her in the Karaka Million. She had the inside barrier there. But given the last two Saturdays, we've seen the inside be not quite a no-go zone, but certainly a disadvantage to a degree.
Yep.
You wonder what is going to unfold in that sort of middle stages, whether J-Mac's going to want to manoeuvre to the outside to make a bird of it.
Yep.
What happens if Zardozi lands on the outside of Orchestral in the run?
Yep.
You know, then he's dictated to.
We
had a bit of a shower this morning on Thursday morning.
Yeah.
And so that's going to keep the track just that, a little bit of moisture in it.
Yeah, the first couple of races will be really telling because usually when the rail gets out to that 6 metre position, you want to be up and in.
Yeah.
But with the rain coming this morning, we've been racing on it for some time now. They still might want to edge off, as you say. But on the map as well, I thought that was another way that leaned me to Orchestral's way, just having that little tactical advantage on Zardozi. And if they do go at that slow pace, I think she has a better turn of foot and acceleration. So that's the other reasoning there. So we're going to get straight into the rapid fire. Over the odds, Ray, on a big card. Plenty of different angles. Which one did you come up with?
There were a couple I liked at Over the Odds. I think I'll label it, I think this is a race that's worth a bit of discussion as well. Roots, race 6, number 3.
Yeah, I can see.
Figures, really.
Yeah.
You know, she's got a really good first up record and a good 1200 metre record. She's just 2 from 2 at 1200 metres.
Yeah.
She trialled in a really fast heat, won by I Know a Star, and just, you know, loped along there in second. And this race has to be strongly run.
Yeah.
You've got Coal Crusher drawn, you know, 10. You've got Malkovich drawn 13. They're going to make a beeline towards the front. Omni Man drawn 15.
Yep.
Another on Pacer. It has to be run to suit something hitting the line. Now, whether that's her or not, I don't know. I just, you know, most of the time when she goes around, she doesn't start this kind of price.
No.
And I'm looking at some of the opposition and I'm thinking, why are they in this race?
Yep. Rose Hill's her track as well.
It is. And those two horses are Hawaii 5-0 and Shinzo.
Mm.
Why are they in this race?
Yeah.
Does it tell us that the stable think that they're not going as well as they can because they're not in the TJ next week?
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like you look at Hawaii 5-0, last preparation, or his last five runs, Stradbroke, Group 1, Shorts, Group 2, Premier, Group 2, Everest, Golden Eagle.
Yep.
You know, and they haven't missed a big race with that horse, yet he's landing in a Group 3. Shinzo, Golden Slipper winner.
Yep.
Last year, he's raced in the Everest, in the Golden Rose, and the Coolmore Stud Stakes since his last run. Now he's had a bit of surgery since then.
Yes.
But he started trialling in early February.
Yeah.
So why is Shinzo a valuable colt like this running in a Group 3?
Yeah, I think you'd have to think Shinzo's probably all age. But I'm with you. I'm against Shinzo. And for the fact is, I'm not sure how well he's going. And to be honest, I wasn't very impressed with his trials.
I think his latest trial was probably the better one of them. But
yeah. And Hawaii 5-0's got the 60 kilos. I know it has the good draw. But, yeah, I was looking for something just in behind the speed, smothered away, and I came up with Libertad.
And I thought Bandy's Boy was ridiculous odds as well.
Yeah.
Not that I don't think he can win the race, but I'd be shocked if he's not finishing in the first half at the very least.
Yeah.
He's a really underrated horse on the way to obviously next week's country championships final. And Libertad's an interesting horse as well, yeah.
Yeah, I lent Libertad's way. Just with the barrier change, so it was out on a limb. And it just, its last couple of 100 metres, a very good late splits. And I just thought probably needed that run. So 1200 is obviously the query. It's only been out there once and it failed. But did have excuses that day behind Stillerton in the run to the Rose. But I'll give it one more chance. Just down on the 53 kilos, doing absolutely no work. Can maybe just, if it gets a gap, sprint over the top of them late. We'll have to come through the pack. But that's my over the odds. Another really good race is the Tullick. I actually went with a horse in High Dandy. So race four, number 11. I was just looking for a different angle. And at first up run, it probably needed a run there at Kembla Grange. Just got too far back race shape against. But then they went forward at Wyong, stayed at the 1,600 metres and just went to a clear career peak. It came home very fast sections, ran very fast overall time. So adjusting for the day and what it produced said it can step off that effort. And if it does, it's not that far off Wymark, and we're getting $13 to find out, a really good gate. I think they're going to press forward again. It just reminds me of one of those horses that just could go bang, bang, bang really quickly. And at the $13, I'm happy to gamble and find out. So race four, number 11, High Dandy.
I was happy to stick with Wymark in that race. Yeah. He was just really impressive the other day, and I remember saying to Michael Friedman after it, you know, you've got to go to the Tullick now, don't you?
And well, the Tullick's record going into the Derby... It's not too bad as of late.
Quite a few of the Kiwis, when they've won the Derby, have come through the Tullick.
Especially in recent history, it's been a really good... The backup's been worked out really well.
That's interesting.
I don't have the stats in front of me, but the horses like Major Beale did it last year. But we'll have that all for you next week. Under the odds. I feel like we might agree on this.
Well, I think Post-Impressionist is unders. Look, that's not to say you can't win. And if he does win... It's probably an indictment on our stayers that he can come from winning a handicap Group 3, a week later a Group 1 weight for age race when he's being set for a 2-mile race.
Yep.
So...
I'm with you. Race 8, number 5.
I think he's under the odds.
All right.
He wasn't last week. He was well placed.
No,
he wasn't.
No, that's right. We both tipped him last week, though. All right. Out wide, we've got a lot of racing over the next few days. So you have plenty to choose from. And what did you come up with?
Look, I'm going to go to Mudgee Race 2, number 1.
Yep.
Horse called Gunu. Cameron Crockett trains. Two runs back. I thought his last run was quite good at Mudgee on Championships Day.
Yep.
The 25th. He was a 1,200-metre race. He was a bit of a drifter, and he led them up. And one horse got up on the inside of him late, and another horse just down the outside. I thought he fought on really well. He comes through quite a strong class one, the first up before that as well. I just think he's really well placed in this race with a nice soft barrier, back slightly to 1,100 metres, and I think he'll be harder to run down. So, look, there are a lot of options this weekend, and I must admit I haven't gone through a few other race meetings yet. But so I'll go for mine, Mudgee, on Sunday, race 2, number 1.
I'm Wyong Saturday early, race 1, number 7, so hopefully we can get out of the gates. But Hippie Dream, so I like High Dandy in the Tullick, so I have to like this horse. Now, it was beaten by 5.7 lengths, ran third, but if you watch the replay, it just lost its spot at a key stage when just prior to the turn, so it couldn't build momentum. And then even coming in that 4-2, it's still checked and blocked. But once it got out, I just really liked how it got to the line. Wasn't fully exerted, still ran some of the fastest closing splits of the meeting. Gets barrier one on Saturday. I like the claim for Zach Waddick. I think he rides really well for an apprentice. He's down 54.5 kilos. Even with all those excuses and interference, it comes in with the best last start figure. And the others, there's got a couple of convictions. So I'm really happy to be with Hippie Dreams. I know it's about 6-4, $2.50. But I do think it's a good way to start the program. So at Wyong, Hippie Dreams, race 1, number 7. Okay. All right, best bets.
What have we got? Go a little early at Rose Hill for the best. I thought race 2, number 2, Serpentine.
Yes.
I think he has to win this race.
Yeah.
Just the way it looks, you can punch so many holes in the opposition. He was really good winning first up at Randwick in the Randwick City Stakes. He looked like he was gone.
Yeah,
early in the straight, but he fought them off. Military Mission comes through that race. He was supported to a degree there, so he's expected to run well. And I like the 3 weeks between runs.
Yep.
Just keeping that slightly on the fresh side, because I just wonder what his actual target is beyond this.
Yep.
So I think he lands in front from barrier one. Unless something runs right out of its pattern, there doesn't look to be a whole lot of competition, particularly with the scratching of Bai de Jean, who did do all the chasing against him the other day. And, you know, if you've got Zarek as one of the favourites, I don't think you've got too much to worry about. I mean, Zarek wins a race like this every now and then.
Yep.
But you look through his form and there's a lot more misses than hits.
Yep.
I think Turpentine will lead, obviously. I think he's well in with 55.
I think the top two, sorry to butt in, I think the top two are extremely well in
for this race. Are both well in. I mean, Zarek's got in quite nicely with 55.5 for some reason. Well, he just set weights and penalties, so obviously... Yep. They didn't meet the criteria for the higher penalties. Zarek hasn't won since the Craven Plate, which was back in October, which is this sort of race.
Yeah.
So if you like Zarek, he probably gets his best chance, but he's going to have to be on his game to run down Serpentine because he just hasn't shown that killer instinct.
Yep.
Certainly last week in the Randvet, you know, sitting handy, and they were obviously too classy for him. So best bet race two, number two. I didn't mind also... Just a little bit better price in the last, number 10 Highlights, trained by Bjorn Baker. I think there's a misleading stat with this horse, and that's his first up record.
Yep.
It says 7 starts for 1 second, but he's only had one prep for Bjorn Baker.
Yep.
And his first up run in that last year was a cracker, behind Unspoken in a 78. He ran well through the preparation. He was narrowly beaten in an open handicap at Randwick by King of the Castle.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
and that was the Big Dance wild card. Yeah. And he finished, you know, 5 lengths off a tractable in the Big Dance. So that's not bad for his first preparation. I liked his second trial. I thought it was really good. He's got barrier one. There looks to be good speed in here, and I think that he can't miss a top three finish.
Yep.
If he gets the breaks. So I just like the slightly, you know, slightly each way-ish odds on him in the last race. 10, number 10 is the other one.
Yeah, I've got 3. I really like Buckaroo. Just at the price, I just think it's crazy. I think $4.80 is a really good gamble. So best bet at Rosehill will be race 8, number 1, Buckaroo. We've gone through Wyong. So race 1, number 7, Hippie Dream. So I think it's a good way to start the day. And look, I must admit, I've just quickly had a scan at Warwick Farm, and a horse that I wanted to follow out of the Kensington meeting a couple of weeks ago was Little Genie. It's drawn really wide. It wouldn't surprise me if they scratched this horse, but I haven't checked the prices. Race 3, number 13, Little Genie. So I want to be with her wherever she goes. If she does go around at Warwick Farm, I'll be with her because I just thought she was... really strong there first up for a first Australian start. So they're my 3. And I hope everyone has a fantastic Easter and we just back a stack of winners, Ray, because we've got next week the championships. It all starts.
Speaking of the championships, little hat tip. Kerry Parker announced Over's retirement. Obviously, he won the Queen Elizabeth 2 years ago in that amazing finish down the outside fence. And look, only a few weeks ago, he won the Very Elegant.
Yep.
He obviously pulled up a little bit scratchy after his run in the Randvet last week. Look, it's sad to see him go. He's an 8-year-old. We kind of thought he'd be around forever, just how tough he was. But they aren't machines.
No.
And he's going to find a really good paddock.
Yeah, he was such an outstanding horse. He was one of those horses that always exceeded everyone's expectations. You'd say, oh, he can't win today. I've done it plenty of times. And there he was down the outside at, was it 40-1 in the Queen Elizabeth?
Yeah.
Too good Nash as well, but... he was a fabulous horse, and I hope he enjoys retirement.
And all of us will be breathing a sigh of relief now. It's not the way we wanted to see him go, but we're not going to think about it and think it over. Anymore.
That was the first thing I said when he got retired. I said, oh, well, that helps with the two horses
Good clashing. Luck to think it over in his retirement anyway, and best of luck to everyone this weekend. It's a big, long weekend of racing.